You know, a few years ago, well, it's getting to be more than a few years ago, and I think it was 1996, the National Security Agency released a huge collection of documents from World War II relating to code breaking, signals intelligence, the incredible role that code breaking played in the Allied victory in World War II. For the first time, we were really able to have access to the original documents relating to that story. It really changed our understanding of history. And that decision was made pretty simply. It was made at the top. NSA said, we're not going to go through every single one of these million plus pages of documents. We're just going to assume everything in World War II. We're going to, as they said, bless these whole boxes and release them. It's become, yes, incredibly complicated and become something of a nightmare because there's millions upon millions of documents waiting declassification review, and the presumption is it's got to be kept secret unless we can be assured it's okay to be released.
And what's the issue here? Why is this an important issue? Why is this something that people should care about?
Yeah. Well, in my talk at the Cryptologic Museum and to NSA recently, I made several points. One was the point I just alluded to, that our understanding of history depends upon having access to these documents. The role that intelligence, and particularly signals intelligence, has played in World War II, in Korea, the Cold War, Vietnam, has been enormous. And you just can't have... You can't write an accurate military, diplomatic, presidential history without knowing this part of the history. Right after World War II, the British diplomat Sir Alexander Cadogan said intelligence is the missing dimension in international history. And in some ways, it still is. And this isn't just sort of an academic concern. This isn't just historians, wanting to feather their own nest. This is things that affect our whole understanding of how wars were conducted, why one side won and the other lost, how presidential decisions were made. And I think the other point is that, every generation of upcoming military, future military leaders learns from the past. They learn from reading history. They learn the importance of, they read about the Battle of Gettysburg. And it's not just, something quaint or a bit of, historical curiosity. Their understanding of these eternal issues of how a military leader makes a decision, of command, of terrain and basic tactics comes from an understanding of history. And I think even many presidents, have been great consumers of diplomatic history and military history. And we've seen time and again these leaders come in, and when it comes to the use of intelligence, because of the secrecy, they're getting on-the-job training. They're not having the benefit of learning from reading about history. And I think that's extremely important.
And part of what fascinates me about this story is the concept of sharing of information. And I'm sort of a believer that, the more information we share, the more there's incredible things that happens through that process. And it becomes very difficult with the kind of classification process that's been going on.
One of the points I made in my talk was that we all know the dangers and the risks of too much openness, of letting secrets come out. But there's almost no institutional mechanism that raises flags about the opposite risk, the risk of too much secrecy. And it's exactly what you're talking about. People not talking to each other, information being dropped. There's even, I think, a harm to the business of the intelligence enterprise itself when there is a lack of public understanding. NSA has, as I mentioned, has been quite forthcoming about World War II era information. Partly this is because there are these great success stories, the breaking of the German Enigma code, the Japanese Purple Cipher. They were incredible triumphs for the code breakers and for this institution. But, there's even a hazard there when you don't tell the failures, you don't talk about the difficulties, because I think the public then becomes conditioned to the idea, well, these guys, of course, are wizards and geniuses, and they can do anything, so why did they fail this time? Yeah. And it becomes a scandal when it shouldn't be. And if there was more understanding, I think, of the complexity of this task, there might be, it would actually serve the institutional interests of the intelligence community in a democracy.
So what would be a good solution to this problem? Is there a solution to this problem? Because you do have these two competing values, one saying, hold on, you know, loose lips sink ships.
Right, yeah.
And one saying, hold on, we have to be able to share this information. And as you said, the loose lips sink ships, very clear, very, people get that.
Yeah. And also, of course, no one ever got in trouble for not releasing something. Yeah. I mean, that's a bureaucratic rule. I think that's one of those eternal bureaucratic verities. There have been periodic efforts to speed up the declassification process, have these, you know, committees, institutional mechanisms, and really it's trying to open up a little crack, and it never really works. What has worked is when someone at the top has said, basically, look, this is ridiculous. Nothing from World War II is going to threaten security if we release it. So we're just going to take all of these boxes, pile up here, and say it's all going to the National Archives, and scholars and writers can have access to them. And I think there's a huge amount that could be done from the Korean War, from the Cold War. One of the points I keep making is, you know, so many of the things that we're still keeping secret from the Cold War, who are we keeping secret from? There were things the Soviets' actual government knew about, our government knows about. The only people we're keeping it secret from are the American people. And, there's a lot of secrecy which is concerned not so much with protecting national security, but protecting posteriors, you know. And I think there could be a lot of blanket declassification from the Korean War, the Cold War, the Vietnam War, for starters, that would really serve the interests of history and the public interest. And as I said, even the interests of the intelligence institutions themselves.
It's interesting because I was talking to the head of the Recovery Board, and you know, it's a different model because they're releasing things live, and it's, you know, financial data, and, mm-hmm. and it's not a completely comparable model. But his point was, if you're going to be transparent, if you're going to open stuff, you almost have to give up the concept of embarrassment. And it seems that that's part of what's here is, yeah, there were mistakes made,
right.
and yet we as a culture, and I think it's particularly difficult for government, we don't do a very good job of saying, yes, let's learn from those mistakes.
Yeah.
Instead, we have to bludgeon somebody over them.
Yeah, and it's more than that. I think particularly in the diplomatic and particularly in the intelligence communities, there's this great institutional emphasis on, covering up embarrassments. And sometimes that's for, I suppose you could say, legitimate reasons, in the sense that if you're concerned about international relations and the United States reputation, yeah, you can say, gee, it would really be bad to let this out. But again, I think you're right. Fundamentally, you have to get past the embarrassment. I mean, one of the issues I've been arguing with the folks at NSA about in their history office has been the absurdity of documents still being redacted and still being held because they refer to the fact that we were spying on neutral nations and allies. And I, you know, would keep saying, how can it possibly either be a surprise or an embarrassment at this point that we were monitoring and decoding messages of Vichy France in World War II? And their argument is, oh, well, but, you know, it's a diplomatic embarrassment if it's confirmed. But I said, everybody knows we were doing this. How can this possibly, you know, you're investing this huge manpower and having people go through these documents and absurdly take a big black magic marker or whatever they do is the equivalent now and blot out, you know, the reference to the fact that we were spying on Mexico, say. I mean, And, you know, some of it is I think, tradition. Some of it is this sensitivity towards traditional notions of, as you say, embarrassment. And I do think perhaps it's time to get past that if we're going to have accurate history.